You've heard me talk a lot about private label, and Andy Slammons is back with a new free course. It's the SMART Private Label course. S stands for selecting a product. M, manufacture with the right supplier. So important. Amazing photos, keyword research, and listing preparation is the A. R stands for ranking your product to the first page of search. We all know how critical that is. And then T is taking your product to the top of Amazon and beyond. This is a free course. It's going to help you get that foundation to do your own private label productness. You want to work smarter. Get it smarter. AmazingFreedom.com/smart. AmazingFreedom.com/smart. Tell Andy I sent you.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 205, George Lawrence. When you think merchant words, you think George Lawrence. When you think George Lawrence, you know you think family? Yeah. Disney? Yeah. And by the way, merchant words too. George has perspective on what he's doing, where he's going. It's a very intentional life. And in this segment, we're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about intentional living and his family and what they do and why they travel together and all those different things, which I think is quite frankly the business that most of us would love to have, right? Imagine your family where they're deeply involved in your business, so there's never arguments because the business is part of your life, and yet you can live harmoniously together and enjoy this business. Love it, love it, love it. Oh, by the way, merchant words, 100 million plus key phrases. We get into that too. Let's get into the podcast. Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. I am so excited. We finally connect. We passed each other in airports, in meetups, and conferences. You're on the other end of the world, and we have not been able to sit down and have another in-face. So I figured, you know what, let's do it over Skype and get together. George Lawrence. Welcome back, George.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here. And, you know, even if it's just in passing in an airport, it's always a pleasure to go past you.
It is. The bear hugs. I do miss the bear hugs. You're always good for a bear hug. You are. That's your nature, though, isn't it?
Well, the way I look at it is, look, if you trust me enough to press our palms together, let's just give each other a hug.
Yeah, you do. And it was we were in Vegas and it was a big hug, but it was appropriate. So let's just stay there. So
right.
Haven't been on the show since March in 2016. I had to look back. I'm like, oh, my God, I cannot believe it's been that long since we sat down and had a conversation.
I got to tell you, I'm thrilled to be back. I almost feel like one of those Saturday Night Live hosts that brag about the fact that they come back and hosted multiple times. So I'm thrilled to be here again chatting with you.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know, the episode that George was in where his whole background is episode 74. Yes, under 100. Isn't that crazy? Because we're in the 200s now. And so it's a big deal to go back and listen because, you know, your story, and I only want to briefly touch on it, but you were a computer nerd. I mean, I don't want to call you what you are. I mean, you were.
In the best possible way, yeah. Nerd, I use that as a badge of honor, yes.
Yeah, you do. And so, hence the reason you stayed in your lane and create a company that's, you know, data-based. I mean, it's still in that realm. And you've been able to take it to unbelievable heights. Now, let me check. Last time we got together, there were 65 million search terms.
Yep.
Where are we at now?
Oh, well, we're well over 100 million.
And come on.
No, not at all. I'll give you a few pieces of information I think are fascinating. That is multiple millions of search terms are introduced new for the very first time every single month. And so if you do the math on that, that's tens of thousands every single day. And the crazy thing is, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around that. But in your mind's eye, imagine anything that's very large scale, grains of sand on the beach or numbers of houses you see fading off into the distance as you land in an airplane when you're traveling. Or imagine anything like that, right? Well, the same thing is with keywords. Every single day, people are searching for something in a way that was never searched for before ever. That just fascinates me. Yeah, so every single day, the number of search terms that people use in general grow, but also it's we're accelerating at an ever-increasing pace the different ways in which people search.
How are you keeping up with that? I mean, you must have huge, huge data storage, right? And the ability to manipulate that data in a quick, responsive way. That's got to be more and more difficult.
It is, but on the other hand, it's getting more and more easy at the same time. So, for example, you know, 10 years ago, if we were to launch a company like Merchant Words, maybe you know, even 15 or 20 years ago, you would have to have racks and racks of physical hardware. You'd need huge databases, which, you know, would be represented by a massive hardware commitment. And a company like that could only have been started with like VC investment and, you know, a big infrastructure starting up. But nowadays with cloud computing and all these other things, it's almost embarrassing how easy it is to bring on some kind of large data storage. You know, no, don't get me wrong, it's not cheap. We spend thousands and thousands of dollars to have our infrastructure you know, be maintained and operate and whatnot. And it costs a lot of money to operate a business like Merchant Works, but it's far less expensive than it would have been, say, 15 or 20 years ago. And I'm thrilled for that. So at the same time that we're taking on, you know, the quote unquote big data demand, is the exact perfect time in history where it's probably easier than it's ever been to manage big data in the cloud.
And if I remember correctly, you don't only use Amazon's data. You've been collecting your own data for years. Is that still the case?
That's right. And so we're sort of agnostic when it comes to the source of where we're looking for search term data. But we're always focused exclusively on search term data that is got purchase intent behind it. And so Amazon, of course, being the world's largest e-commerce platform, is our primary go-to. And I'll give you a quick aside, though. In some parts of the world, it's not Amazon. In China, for example, even though Amazon does have a website there, they're in the far vast minority. And I just got back from a trip to Sydney, Australia. And in Australia, Amazon will be there one day soon. We all know that that'll happen. They're not there yet. And so the interesting thing is, in Australia, eBay is actually known as the .com website that you go to for brand new things. And here,
eBay in Australia is similar to Amazon here?
That's exactly right. So
really?
Amazon.com US is the equivalent in Australia is ebay.com.au. And so the Australian eBay is like the United States Amazon. It was fascinating to me. It's like, why don't you just buy it on eBay? I'm like, well, I don't want a used one. No, don't buy a used one on eBay. Buy a brand new one. Like,
really? And so you're able to take and use, people are able, sellers, to be able to use your Merchant Words there too?
That's right. And so we're not as far along in Australia as we'd like to be. We're just now ready to launch, and by the time your listeners hear this, we will have already launched it, a global version of Merchant Words, and that includes mostly North America and Europe. So the folks who are doing any kind of retailing, or even if you're just curious, want to do some research in, let's say, UK, Germany, and all those European countries, we have a version of that. And eventually, it won't be out anytime soon, but we are working on rolling into the other large markets. So that would be India, Japan, Australia, of course. So we're not quite there in those countries, but we're rolling across North America and Europe.
So two questions come to mind. Are you using their language? And I think of India with, 5,000 languages. And contextually, if you are, how do you, a word in English doesn't necessarily translate well to Indian or, you know, Pakistani or any of those kind of things? Or even German, even French. How do you handle that?
Right. That's a great question. And, you know, I could talk for an hour on just that. So
please don't. No.
Stop me when you heard enough.
But the shortened version, please.
The interesting thing is that even in Germany and France, and I'll stay in Europe for my examples, even in Germany and France, many of the searches are in English. And in fact, when we first started looking at our data coming in, people are like, oh, no, you got it all wrong. This is English. You know, this is U.S. data. I'm like, well, let's take a look. And turns out many of the German and the French searches come in English. And even when it's not pure English, it's still a couple of French words tossed in there, but as many English words in there as well. Fringlish. Last time I was in Paris, they referred to it as Fringlish, you know, French and English all mixed together. So that's the one thing, is you should be aware, if you're a worldwide merchant, that people are going to speak their native language, of course, but it'll be heavily peppered with English. That seems to be the one that's winning worldwide, at least for the kind of person that likes to shop online. There may be, I don't know, there may be some French and German folks who are very language purists, but perhaps those are the folks who don't really favor shopping online so much. And that's one. And the other thing is, and I want to comment on this because it's a tricky bit, we don't yet have the intelligence to say, if you were to type in a search term, we're going to match across all of the languages of the world by not only looking for character matches. You know, if you type in Harry Potter, HARRYPOTTR, that's exactly what we look for. We don't do any deeper translation. And the brand names like Harry Potter don't need translation. But if you were to type in, say, book, we don't necessarily translate book to Bücher or whatever it is in German and then do searches around the world. Now, part of the fantastic opportunities to us is we can do a lot of deep learning, right? We can have AI and all these other kinds of natural language algorithms kind of come to bear. And that's precisely what we're working on. So As I mentioned, that we're looking to go worldwide by adding India and Japan and all these other big markets around the world. In conjunction with that, we're looking to ways to leverage natural language processing and AI to be a little more intelligent. So if you type in something in any language, we're going to be able to give you good intelligence about it in all the other languages by doing a little mapping, linguistic mapping for you underneath the covers.
Is it called word vector analysis?
Exactly right. I love the word vector, right?
And well, it does. A vector makes me think of connections.
Yes, precisely. I was giving a presentation, and I used the term vector. Listen, now let's talk about the word vectors, because Amazon has done word vectoring, blah, 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 and I'm going off and going into the weeds a little bit on some of the deep learning. And someone came up to me afterwards and was like, in addition to being an Amazon seller, I also design rocket ships. And so I'm like, wow.
Oh, jeez. Whoa.
You know that old joke?
A real rocket science.
Yeah, right. The old joke about rocket science. Yeah, I really meant one. And so she told me, she said, you know, and so it's fascinating. I deal with vectors all day long, you know, thrust vectors and the angle of gravity and whatnot. And she kind of like blew me away with everything she was telling me about building rocket ships. And I said, yeah, you know what? It's exactly right. Because you talk about thrust and, you know, you send a rocket off at a certain angle and has to go against gravity at a certain angle, whatnot. The natural language processing algorithms that we have, and by the way, all hosted in the cloud, you don't need big hardware to do this. These services treat words just like the same thing. So I can start with any one point in the word vector space. And I can say, like the classic example is king. I can say, look, king, I can go from king to male, or I can go from king to royalty, or I can go to king to queen. I can vector all these different places depending on their meanings. And it's fascinating to me that Amazon now has begun doing word vectoring for you automatically. And that's just kind of an extension of their synonyms. So, for example, people would say, hey, do I have to put both book and books with an S? And I'm like, no, Amazon has figured out the fact that these two words are synonyms of each other. You don't need to list them both in your keywords. And they'll say, great. Well, now, finally, and thankfully, with keyword vectoring, Amazon is smart enough to figure out the multiple meanings behind all these different words. And it's a great assistance for somebody building their listings and don't necessarily know the thousands of ways that people do searching. So Amazon's is beginning to help you a little bit with their word vectoring, but the onus is still on the merchant, you know, using the keyword discovery tools that are out there. You're not naturally, I like merchant words, but by using your own intelligence or using a tool to help you, we as merchants still need to figure out all the ways that our people are searching for our products. But as Amazon is coming to the rescue a little bit by helping out with some of the obvious word vectoring to find the alternate ways.
You know, it's interesting to me too that Google's doing the same thing. Right, yep. Their own version of it. And so how do you, because you need Google too, right? Because you also sell through, I mean, we know Amazon's the dominant player, but there are millions, I'm sure, of other platforms and companies and landing pages and websites that use Google as their search algorithm. And so they're also, how do you as a merchant, right, a supplier of services, using, you know, technically you need both, right, in your world. How do you handle the different, you know, because it, my bet is the thinkers are probably thinking a little differently, right? It's similar, but it's different, right? How do you handle that?
Well, you know, when I think about the difference between Google and Amazon or any other e-commerce platform, my mind always snaps back to a conversation I had with one of our customers, and he said, I run a business and we specialize in the very narrow niche of French Revolution products.
I'm like,
wow, that is probably the narrowest niche I've ever seen, but okay. And he said, whenever I use any kind of search engine or Google keyword tool to help me out, it's almost always relating to people doing research. French Revolution timeline, French Revolution term paper, homework, that kind of stuff. And there's never really any product data. And using Merchant Words, he was, you know, giving me some congratulations here. He's like, using a tool like Merchant Words is a breath of fresh air for me because it clears all that stuff off my plate and only tells me about the products related to the French Revolution that people are searching for. So I think back on that a lot. And, you know, like I said, we want to stay focused on search terms that have purchase intent behind.
Okay.
And in fact, maybe one day we'll come out with a tool that gives you some guidance like, here, this is a general search term, but there's not enough purchase intent behind it for you to be interested. And here are the search terms with purchase intent. So these are the ones you want to stay focused on.
Wow, man, that's a lot to think about. I mean, it really is. So you have to be intentional as you're thinking because you could go down rabbit holes all day long, right? So you have to stay on task. And I'm sure that's hard to do with staff and because, I mean, the world, you know, you're only at 100 million search terms. How many billions are there?
Right, sure. I would imagine there's an sort of like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. No matter what device we build to capture them all, they will create faster than we can capture them.
Okay. Woo. All right. I'm going to do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about intentional living, staff, how you maintain a staff, how you retain a staff is probably the better phrase I like. And then where is Merchant Words going? And more importantly, where is George going? So let's take a break.
Okay, fantastic.
I was talking to Karen Locker the other day from Solutions for E-Commerce. We all know she's a sponsor of my show. She pays me. I don't want to hide that, right? The other thing she reminded me, though, is that if you sign up for her service through my link, you get $50 off, right? You knew that. I forgot that she offers an inventory health assessment. I'm like, Karen, I probably should be talking about that valuable service. She's going to take a look through your inventory and help you figure it out. They're going to take care of your suppressed listings. You're tired of having stranded inventory? Is inventory getting lost? When's the last time you looked at your shipments to get them reconciled? How about refunds? Has that happened? Well, Karen takes care of all that for me. She's been doing it for almost 2 years. I pay the same rate you do, but I'm very, very pleased with the service. Had two guys, two well-known guys in the area reach out to me saying, hey, you've been with her. Are you satisfied? I'm perfectly satisfied. And again, I can message her. I get the services I need. So it's Solutions for E-Commerce. The only way you're going to get that deal is using my code MOMENTUM. I have a link on my website. You have to go there. If you're thinking about outsourcing that piece of your business, get your inventory looked at. Man, is he enthusiastic. He is like that in real person. If you've never seen him speak and you get an opportunity to, sit through it because you will be so entertained. He's so, so enjoyable. Get a bear hug from him too. Tell him I said you need one. This segment, we're going to go a different route because one thing George has done is built a great company. And what's so cool about it to me is that he has done it by, attracting talent, and we talk about that, but more importantly, retaining talent. That's hard to do. Think about it. Think of all the opportunities that come across your desk, right? Well, George has figured out the secret. And guess what? It's the opposite of what Wall Street's doing, other than Google and Microsoft and Uber corporate, all those new age companies are kind of taking the same approach. And George is like, hey, this is working. I might as well do it too and stay away from the Wall Street model. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with George Lawrence. And man, you just blew my mind in that first session because what's been very interesting to me, I've seen Peter Kearns give a discussion on this vector, word vector. I just recently saw someone else give it. I mean, it's really starting to build momentum here and you're just building on it. And I think it's so exciting for people to start understanding because you're putting it in such plain, easy words to understand. And I appreciate that. But it's so fascinating where you're going and how you're staying relevant to me, the user of your services, which I am a user, just so you know, and I pay just like everybody else. I don't get a discount.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, that's fine. I just want people to understand is I use these services. That's why I'm endorsing it because I use them. You know, it's just another tool that I use to, you know, there's a million different terms, search companies, and you need to use as many as you can to make sure you have the right, because ultimately, you know, you've got to get the right words for the customer that they're searching for to sell your product, correct?
Right, exactly. And for anyone who doesn't like the goofy sounding vector word, don't let that scare you off. It's just really a fancy scientific way to say that many people search for the same thing many different ways. All those many different ways are the word vector.
And they're basically saying, hey, George, I know you're typing in king, but you're really looking for prince because in the past you've been looking for these types of things, and based on your history and based on others, this is probably what you mean. They'll give you that also, right? And then you're like, huh, and you don't even think anything about it. You're like, yep, that's what I was looking for. But behind the scenes, there's a gazillion lines of code saying, okay, he put this in, but this is what he really meant. And it's kind of scary that they're thinking ahead almost. Isn't it kind of a little freaky?
You know, it does seem a little bit scary, but if you think about it, back in the day, Amazon, if you typed in baking dish, they would not show you things that the seller described as casserole pan, even though we all know a baking dish is the same thing as casserole pan. And now that, thankfully, finally, now that you type in baking dish and you'll see things described as casserole pans, the exact same product, now that's a benefit for the user, right? So we won't have people getting lost in the search. My point is, this is a fantastic new development. So this whole concept of keyword vectoring and Amazon figuring out really what you're searching for, even that's not what you really typed, you could think of it as creepy, but I think of it as super convenient.
No, I agree with you. So let's talk about intentional living, because last time I was watching you, you were in China. I mean, yep. Yep, you, but it wasn't just you. Who else travels with you?
Oh my goodness. Well, if it's possible, I like to travel with my whole family. And you know, our kids are busy in school. They've all just recently graduated from high school in the last few years, and my daughter just graduated from college. And so she's, of course, busy building her own life. But if it's possible, I love to travel with my whole family, because I think back to the early days of launching my business, and that was my motivation, is I needed to provide for my family. I needed to add security for my family. And since that was the original intention of building a company that helps people anyway, then I always kind of feel true to that original vision, if you will, by having my family come along with it. But usually it's just my wife, and then any other business partners happen to be along going to the same conference.
And China, now, your wife was there, mm-hmm. right? And you don't only just go to conferences. You are living a life while you're there, right? I'm sure you got to run a business, so you got to deal with that. But then you're also making sure that you have those deep experiences. What's that done for your marriage?
Wow. Well,
I'm going there, buddy. I want to go there intentional, because I worry about couples that don't take this time. I remember David and Ivy Hawkins talking about this. David was like, look, Steve, I'm a guy. I would literally work all day, eat pizza at night, never get out of the house, just finish or shipping on the road, and then get up and do it the next day. But Ivy insists that we see all these sites. She's in charge of making sure that we have this life. That's a fear. What's that done for your marriage?
Well, I have a very similar experience, and I'll share that in a minute. But first thing, I have to give you a disclaimer right up front. I'm a big Disney fan. I love Disneyland in Anaheim. I love Disney World in Florida. And if I'm anywhere close traveling in the world and they've got a Disneyland there, I'll pop in, because I love it. And Jennifer loves it. My wife Jennifer, she loves it too. So we have a great time, but I'm usually the one behind that. So I was in Barcelona not too long ago, and the weather turned bad. And I'm like, hey, you know, we're only a two-hour plane ride away from Disneyland Paris. Come on, let's pop up for the day.
Wait, you just popped into Disneyland Paris for the day?
Yeah, well, we were in Barcelona, and
it's only two hours.
Right, jump on an airplane. Like, Air France has got a lot of flights between Barcelona and Paris. Boom, we were up. We were enjoying Disneyland. It was wonderful.
That's awesome. See, that's intentional living.
Right.
All right, keep going. Sorry.
And same thing in China, right? We had a couple of things we needed to do in Shenzhen, and that's right next to Hong Kong, Disneyland there. And then we had a couple of things to do in Guangzhou, and that's very close to Shanghai, of course, Disneyland there. And so we always, me personally, I love to drift and see the different Disneylands around the world. But as I'm sure you know, there's also lots of culture, lots of history, lots of other more fantastic things to see. So it goes beyond Disneyland, naturally. But like, for example, in Sydney, we saw the big touristy things, the Opera House, the Harbour Bridge. And then beyond that, we found ourselves discovering little history museums and all this fascinating information about global colonization, not global, but colonization back when, you know, the British were colonizing. And it's amazing that you go to a place expecting to see their kind of big icons, and then you wind up just getting enthralled with the more rich and textured history that each place has. Fascinating to me what I find out discovering once I'm actually in the culture.
You know, but in the pre-call, we talked about it. When you worked somewhere, right, where you work for someone else, you would just come home from work, oh, how was your day? How was your day? You guys get to live out each other's day now.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
I mean, that's deep right there.
Usually my morning starts. When I wake up, I'll look over, and Jennifer, of course, sleeping next to me, is already awake, and she's on her laptop, and she's checking our customer service emails. And so often the very first thing we say to each other is not, good morning, honey, you know, how'd you sleep, or what are we going to do today? Often the very first thing is, hey, we just had a customer who has a problem with XYZ feature. What should we do? And then we'll have a conversation about how we should treat our particular problem that's going on, because, you know, we want to do right by our customers, naturally, and we want to make sure that we fix whatever problem we have going on so no one else encounters it. And part of me is like, this is surreal. Most couples get up and just say hello to each other. And here we are discussing our business as the first, before we've even gotten out of bed, we're chatting about our business.
You know, but here's the great thing about what you just described. You're getting someone else's perspective on a problem, because they might come at it from a different direction, especially since she's a female, right? And she might not be a computer programmer. She's more of maybe of a user. I don't know that, but I'm just making that broad statement. That's a big value, hence the reason you're getting it from all sides. Like, wait, did you think about this? Oh, I wouldn't do that. You're like, huh. Because you as a programmer, I mean, I've dealt with programmers my whole life. They think one way, generally. And so it's great to have that other perspective, especially somebody who's so vested in the interest of the success of your business, right? Because quite frankly, she needs you to be successful because it's also her business.
That's right. And, you know, sometimes I introduce her as my co-founder and she kind of shoves that off. And no, really, that's actually true because we've been running the business together for many, many years. And, you know, when it came time to hire employees, of course, that changed the nature of the business a little bit. And there was a little bit of a growing pain, all for the good, of course, but a little bit of growing pains there. But she's been by my side from day one. And of course, as just a husband-wife relationship, that's thrilling to me. It's something we have to work on together. But also as a you know, it sort of modernizes that traditional role of I'm going to go to work and be the provider and, I don't know, you stay home and work hard here. And I never really liked that idea because I wish there was more sharing when it came to couples building a life together that, you know, sometimes the hard work falls on one, sometimes the other. Sometimes the more menial tasks of, you know, keep the day in and day out tasks of running a household should fall to both equally. And that's kind of more the case in our situation now.
And I want to get to the employees because you gave a great segue there. But I don't want to miss this. Your work is an intricate part of your life, and your life is an intricate part of your work, correct?
That's absolutely true. And in fact, if the IRS ever doubts the fact that we've discussed dinner, discussed our company at almost every single dinner we've ever had together, then I'll come and ask the IRS to ask you if that could possibly be true.
Yeah,
you back me up.
It's true. But isn't it wonderful? In the old days, I don't want to take my work home with you, right? You don't want to take your work home with you. That's the guy who's working 24/7, this and that. When it's an intricate part of your life, I mean, let's face it, how many times a day are you hugging yourself, smiling, and pinching yourself to say, man, I'm so lucky I get to do this, and yet you're working, in theory, right? And you're riding a ride at Disneyland thinking about something. I mean, it's kind of goofy to sound that way, but that's true. You have
it
that.
It is. And, you know, the phrase that we've sort of adopted together is we look at each other and we just share a tender moment. It's almost unspoken now. And then we say, we have a wonderful life. And none of that is something that anyone gave to us. You know, we worked hard to get there and we work hard. It's not like we worked hard and got something and now we've retired and are enjoying it. We work hard every day. And so we could slog through a bunch of important work, answering emails or adding new features to our product or doing anything like that. And even in the midst of it, while we're still working, we still look at each other and say, what a wonderful life we have that we can still be together, have the flexibility and freedom to essentially travel and do what it is that we do pretty much anywhere we want to go. Still work hard, but we're now still in this together. None of anything we're doing takes us away from each other.
I'm getting a little choked up, honest to God, because I'm getting I get the chills in my arms, are, you know, getting a little the chills going down my arms, and I'm getting a little choked up because I wish this upon every single person, and I think it's absolutely we're so fortunate to be in this business at this time because I think every single person has this opportunity. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. In fact, I think back, and you know, I get chills too when I think about how, and I hate to call myself lucky because we worked hard, right?
So right,
I get chills when I think about how wonderful it is to be in this situation, but I also get chills when I think that anybody who wants to have this situation can do it. You might run into hiccups and you might have a few failed starts before you get there, but it's never been a better time in the history of the world to go back and do exactly what we've been describing. And in fact, let me just put this fine point on it. If you think back to before the Industrial Revolution, this was normal.
Yeah.
Families work together. They work hard together. Then they stay together. It didn't tear a family apart when people went to work. It made them, you know, it was another reason, a shared experience that brought them together and bonded them. And I'm thrilled to see that now, perhaps as a result of the Industrial Revolution taken to its final extreme, that now we're able to go back to that and reap the benefits of technology and bring the family back together again.
And I would say that this is what saves marriages today. By not being apart, by not going separate directions, by not being individuals, but being a collective, I'm so excited. Okay, so now I'm telling you, I get so excited for people because when you see it, and I'm so fortunate, I get to see it so much. Man, and then I go out and I see my friends and they're going different directions and they're going out with their friends from work after hours. And I'm always like, ooh, that could lead to problems, you know, and wait, their interests start to wane. Or you hear marriages that have been together for 20 or 30 years and then all of a sudden they fail. And I think, wait a second, for 30 years, that's more than most people have been alive. And here they are. And it just, it just breaks my heart. So I wish this for everyone. And I think George and his wife are perfect examples of what you can be. And when you see them together, I mean, she gives you she razzes you pretty good. And yet you could see in her eyes, there's a deep love and a respect and vice versa. Anyway, all right, I'm getting all mushy. Okay, so let's talk about employees.
Thank you very much.
No, I mean that because I just think it's, you know, I would suggest next conference, you go up and meet George and his wife. She'll be there. Almost always is. And you just talk to them and it's living and breathing. And I hope more people hear that and do it. So let's talk employees, because I think what I'm fascinated with, right? So lots of these businesses now are starting to get to the level where they need employees. I always say when you get to that $30,000 a month, $40,000 a month, anybody can do that. $500,000. I think most people can do that on their own. But when they start getting past that, they're going to have to start outsourcing. So they're going to use prep centers and they're going to use other things. But at some point, they're going to need some help. And so finding and retaining good people is one of the biggest challenges out there, right? Unemployment rates are all-time low, although people are so worried about their job. 70% of the U.S. is living paycheck to paycheck, right? They're worried, right? They're worried about their future. You have a bunch of employees. You seem to have a pretty good job. You do a pretty good job of retaining them. That's not easy, is it? Or I would also argue that you're very intentional about that. Is that fair?
That is absolutely fair, and I am very intentional about it. You know, my opinion about that has been formed and educated by all of the other quote-unquote day jobs I've had in the past. And every single job I've ever had has been fantastic, phenomenal. The salary was more than fair. The working conditions were perfect. Everybody was great. I've got nothing but love for all my former employers. But I did notice that it seemed to be employees were kind of like treated as any other expense. How can we cut corners? How can we reduce our costs here? How can we become more profitable? And, you know, I look back at kind of the way I was treated, not just me personally, but every employee in these companies were treated. And I'm like, you know what? They don't really treat me as just one of your asset versus liabilities on a spreadsheet or whatever. You know, it's only because of your employees that your business is thriving. So you ought to go way out of your way to reward them. And that's always been my mindset. And I kind of promised myself back in the day that I was in a situation where I was in charge of treating employees who work for me, that I would go way out of my way, the extra mile, to make sure that they knew that they were our number one asset. And any goodness that the company is able to generate in terms of growing revenues and whatnot should be shared abundantly with them. That's always been my mindset.
So let's talk about how you do that. How you attract, but then B, you know, if you don't mind, let's talk about health insurance and 401k. Would you mind getting in that deep? I don't want to get too personal, and you got to cut it off where you feel like, hey, this is my secret sauce, or I don't want to tell people's secrets. But to me, I think you do it probably better than most. Way more than as well, better than most, because of exactly what you're saying, because you've seen it and you thought to yourself, I don't like this, or this is a hassle. And so let's talk about that.
Sure. So I've got about three different ways that I'll give you specific examples for. But let me just start by your first question. In general, how do we find people that we want to work with? And really the answer there is I want, first of all, somebody I know that I can trust, and somebody that I know that I enjoy spending time with and they enjoy spending time with me. I want to make sure there's a good fit, first and foremost, culturally, than anything else. And so what I found the most success at is kind of reaching back into my former life as an employee, looking at some of the people I've worked with before in the past, looking at some of the people I've known who maybe work for other companies, but I was working with them, you know, in some kind of a relationship.
Let me just stop you there a second, because that's a pro tip, because you're saying, wait, I've already seen these people. They're not crazy, which is a big, you know, big warning. How do you figure out crazy? But you're saying, wait, I've seen these people get along with others, become part of a team and help move us forward and really part of it. So that's a great example of going back. Oh, I love it. Dude, that's a pro tip right there. Very heavy pro tip.
Thanks. And, you know, I'll give you a quick analogy. And that is my son's a big fan of musical theater. And we're planning a trip to New York to take in a couple of shows. And we're talking over. He's like, hey, which do you want to see? Do you want to see this show or that show? And he's like, well, you know, I don't know anything about that show. But I do know the lead is this guy who I've loved in these three other musicals. So since I know he's the lead in this musical, I know I'm going to have a good time.
The phrase is the best prediction of future performance is past performance. Right. I mean, that's exactly what you're talking about.
That's a disclaimer on every mutual fund, I think, in the world. But, you know,
it's true.
it's no guarantee, but it is a predictor. Yeah. Mm. So if whether it's your favorite actor you've seen before in other movies, and so you know you're going to enjoy the next movie, use whatever analogy you like. But if you've actually worked side by side with people, been through the trenches, and seen what they're capable of when something bad happens, like, oh my God, the website crashed, how did they respond? And you want to be able to pick the people who you know you can go side by side with into the trenches of your new idea.
Mm. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, so that's how we attract. How do we start retaining? Because that's even harder, I think, because they're getting, you know, with such a low unemployment, the cream of the crop is getting bombarded with offers and, hey, let me steer you away from there because I've got a better thing for you. I can do more for you. How do you start dealing with that?
Well, the first thing is what I'm asking people to do better be interesting and fulfilling and rewarding just from the get-go. Otherwise, I would be embarrassed asking my friends to see if they were interested in leaving their day job to come help me do it. So if I were to say, you know, hey, it's menial grunt work, you'll hate it, you'll wish you'd never said yes to me, but why don't you come and work with me? So I want to make sure, first of all, that what we're actually going to do is super interesting, super fun, and thankfully that's been the case because we've got a lot of interesting technology challenges to solve at MerchantWords, and for the most part, everybody who's said, hey, yeah, I'd love to jump in and help you with that. So it's been interesting. That's number one. And then the next three things, like I said, were really the things that I hated most about other companies. They were always fair, but they didn't feel right. And so the three things are health insurance, 401k, and some kind of profit sharing. It's something to share in the success, right? And so those three things I kind of boiled down as, hey, now that it's my company, now that I can set the rules and build whatever it is I want to build, since I'm the architect of our future, let's do it right this time. So when it comes to health insurance, I know that's a big one. A lot of people worry about that when they move from one job to the next. Now that I'm in charge of building MerchantWords health insurance, I wanted to do it right. And so what I did is, first thing, right out of the gate, is I said, MerchantWords is going to pay for 100% of all your health insurance premiums, no matter if you're a single person and it's inexpensive, or whether you're a married guy with a lot of kids, which means it's very expensive. You know, it's not your fault that you wanted to be married or have kids. I mean, great. And in fact, I think it's the other way around. If you're a married guy and you have lots of kids waiting for you to come home at the end of the day, I think it's almost my duty, right, to say that, you know, you're not spending time with your family where you sort of have this duty, this responsibility to be with your wife and raise your kids, and I'm pulling you away from that. So of course I should be willing to go a little extra to help provide for the security of your family by paying for your health care. So in other companies I work for, they kick in the first few $100, then it's up to you to pay the rest. And right. I said, no, that's no good. That's not how we're going to do it. So for every employee, whether you got a ton of people and it costs a lot, or whether it's just you and it doesn't cost much at all, MerchantWords covers 100% of your health insurance premium. So that was number one.
Well, that's huge.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, when the bill comes around every month, I look at it and like, wow, I pay more for health insurance premiums than I do for our giant technology bill that I pay, you know, Amazon and Google and a couple of other our cloud providers. I'm like, I'm paying more just for health insurance than I am for all of our cloud services. That seems kind of weird. And then I turn around the other way and put on my other hat and I go, no, that's not weird at all, because were it not for all the people building what is our company, we would not be nearly as successful. So in every possible way you can think of it, is absolutely investing in our future by paying, going the extra mile and paying for everybody's health insurance 100%.
Love it, love it, love it. And you're not buying the lowest plan either. You're buying as good a plan as you can to really take away hassles.
That's right. And the idea is, look, I want all your spare creative juices to think about what is the future going to look like? I want all of your spare creative cycles to go into what can I do to make MerchantWords successful, rather than what do I have to do if I have to worry about deductibles and insurance premiums? I'd like to remove all of that worry off of your plate so you can focus your creative energy on something more productive.
And let me add one more thing. The really creative companies out there, the Googles, the Facebooks, those kind of companies, these are the type of benefits they offer, right? And I use that phrase benefits. You don't like that phrase, but it's true, right? Those are what they do to attract and retain talent. We've all seen the pictures of Google's headquarters and the free food and the free this, because they really want people to live there and just become part of their life. Then you have the middle, which is the old companies, the old established companies, which are still making hundreds and billions of dollars, and yet they got to keep squeezing that plan because that's a big expense, and they wonder why they can't attract and retain talent. And now you, in this little dinky company, and I don't mean to downplay it, I'm just saying relative to Google, you're taking the same approach and having success. I'm so hopeful more companies get it and say, this is it, stupid. You know, because remember, I was a controller, right? I was the CFO. I'm that guy who cut. I mean, that's what, you know, hey, Steve, we need you to squeeze 3 more margin points out. Okay, I know right where to go, right? I mean, when labor's 55% of your cost, it's a pretty easy place to go, right? And so this is new thinking, but yet the biggest companies that are having incredible success, you know, are thinking very similar. So I think your thought process is right on. Okay, so go ahead. Go on to 401k.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. So in previous lives, you know, you'd get a 401k package, and it would say you can only invest in these few investment vehicles, and then some were good, but many not, and you can only contribute up to this amount, but no more, and we'll match a very little slice right here. And I'm thinking, you know, how much extra does this really cost you, but with all these limitations? And then when I started 401k shopping on behalf of creating a 401k plan for Merchant Words, I thought, oh, now I understand. Because if I just go to any 401k broker and say, hey, give me a plan off the shelf, and how much does it cost for you to administer this plan for me, the cheapest one, it comes along with all these limitations. And, you know, it's clear to me that it was all focused about what's good for the company's bottom line.
Period.
Necessarily what's good for my my employees' retirement savings. And I thought, well, let's just like health insurance, maybe we can do a little better. And it turns out there's nothing off the shelf, but you can build one yourself. So I hired a tax attorney, and I went out and got a custom 401k administrator to put this plan together for me. And we built a plan that significantly raises all the limits. And so some of our employees, you know, young kids making, you know, just starting out in life that don't really have the need of a spouse and kids, they've got a lot of extra money and they want to stash it away. And if you can stash a few thousand away every month in your 401k, that's great. But if you can stash a few extra on top of that thousand, if you can afford to, in your 401k, even more so, the better. So rather than just take an off-the-shelf 401k, we spent the extra time and effort and energy to build one. It got approved by the IRS and everything, so it's a legitimate plan. But it significantly raises the contribution amounts, and so now you can raise maybe four times more than you would have otherwise with an off-the-shelf package. And the range of investment choices are far wide-reaching. So the point is, I gave lots of flexibility. I raised the limits to all of our 401k offerings, and we're being very, very generous about matching, much more so than any other company I've been exposed to. So really, when you take a look at our 401k plan, you're like, wow, that beats any other company I would be thinking about working for, both in contribution and choice investment choices and also in match. So I want to make sure that we compare favorably to any of the other big tech companies you might look at.
But again, you know, your employees have to be sitting there saying, oh my goodness, we actually have a guy who cares. Because ultimately, that's really what matters, right? They want to be, you know, they want to be respected. They want to know that they're making a difference. And here you are saying, I care enough about you, Steve, that I'm going to do this for you because you're so important to me. Ooh, you wonder why people don't turn over? Hello? Okay.
One more point. And this is something I like to do. It's not like official, and sometimes we can't do it, but whatever we can. If someone needs to go travel on business, you know, needs to come with me to a trade show or whatever, I invite their spouse or all their kids, if they can leave school, to come with us on company expense. Because the whole idea to me is it just sounds terrible to pull someone away from their family and split a family in half. And I personally have had such a wonderful time traveling the world and going to trade shows and conventions with Jennifer and my kids when they're able, that I want others to kind of experience that too. And so folks will look at me and say, really? You want my wife and my kids to come and you're going to pay for their airfare and hotel? Seriously? I'm like, yeah, dude, I want you to come. I want you to come work for me. I want you to come to this show with me and bring your kids. Bring your wife. Why not?
Well, because if it's good enough for you, why wouldn't it be good, right? There you go back to thinking. If it's good enough for you and your family, why isn't it good enough for me and my family, right? Exactly. I mean, because to me, oh, God, it's so caring. Okay, I hope people are getting this. I mean, this isn't easy, and you're giving up personal profits, right? You could squeeze this margin out. That's what most people do.
Sure. But, you know, the thing is, I hate to say this, but I didn't really get into this to say, hey, let's see how much money I can make. I challenge myself to put $1 million cash in this big, giant Scrooge McDuck style vault full of gold coins that I go swimming through. Yeah, you know, that wasn't the reason why I started all this. And so since I had different reasons in mind, this sort of just kind of permeated through all of my decisions going forward. So do I want to break up anybody's family, even when they come work for me? No, of course not. So that's kind of informs those decisions.
And what's very cool to me, too, is my bet is because you have such reduced turnover and these people have so much knowledge, that's, this depth of knowledge stays with them. You don't it makes your life easier, right? I mean, I guess that's the key is to realize that, you know, you can have an easy life because of money, which doesn't really buy you much, right? It buys you ease. You can get people to cut your grass and all that jazz. Or you can have a nice, easy, unhassled life because your employees probably handle majority of stuff before it ever bubbles up to you because A, they're so skilled and they have such intimate knowledge, right? That depth of knowledge stays there. To me, you know, that intentional choice is beautiful. I mean, it's well thought out and your hassle factor goes down a lot.
It does. You know, Damon Johns from Shark Tank, and, you know, he's a big entrepreneur himself. He said, money doesn't solve anything. It just, money doesn't solve your problems. It just drives you to your problems in a nice limousine.
I love it.
So I agree with it. Yeah. So, it's not about hoarding money. And what it really was for me is, to your point, making sure that we share the load equally. It makes my life easier. It makes everybody, you know, I'm making the lives of my employees easier by removing some burdens that otherwise would have been on them. And they reciprocate by easing my concerns and burdens. You know, I tell them, look, I don't need you to work 24/7. Don't stay up in the middle of the night. Don't work weekends. Don't kill yourself. Right? This is a marathon, not a sprint. So let's build some great product together. Let's build a great company together. And yet, whenever there's a problem, even though I tell them not to do it, I see people getting up in the middle of the night and are on the weekends fixing things that go wrong. And I never instructed them to do it. They just choose to do it because they're fully engaged and very happy with what they're doing.
Love it. You're looking at the long game, as Gary Vee would say, right, all the time. You're looking at the long game. You're not just trying to make profits this month. And again, this is part of the problem with corporate America, because they're trying to satisfy Wall Street this month. They got to make their quarterly earnings, right? You're looking at it, hey, I'm looking for a long commitment, but I'm going to commit to you over the long. Oh, I'm getting chills. All right. Well, let's talk about having uncomfortable discussions, because if you're sharing profits with them, that means you're sharing what your profits are with them.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I didn't really get into profit sharing. I'll be happy to go as deep as you'd like. But the one thing that always bugged me is the stock options. When you work for another company, they give you something on paper, which could be worth something one day.
Maybe.
No guarantees that it will. And even if it doesn't, if you decide to exercise them when you walk away, you might be faced with a big tax bill on something that has no value yet. So I'm not a real big fan of stock options. Instead of stock options, we're working on having some, very generous matching happen. So whenever you contribute to 401k, of course, we'll match like all companies do. And then on top of that, we're having some kind of revenue sharing where, because of your involvement, we've now increased our revenues by X. And so here's a way to say thank you by an additional contribution to your 401k that you wouldn't have had otherwise. It's not a match. It's just a thank you for growing the revenues of our company. We want to share some back with you.
Well, that puts it very intentional. Your goal is to grow revenues. Very clear. Hey, I benefit if I can grow revenue. And it's deferred. So therefore, I get the real benefit because you get the compounding effect. Right?
Yep.
By doing that. Ooh, love it, love it, love it.
Exactly right.
So on profit sharing, is that the way you do that? Or is there a little bit outside of that too?
Our goal is to make sure that everybody knows that if we suddenly take off like crazy, we add 10x over the course of the next couple of years, that they're going to feel the effect of that 10x. And so the primary way that we do profit sharing with our employees is in conjunction with our 401k
plan.
Okay. And like I said, we tried to be very generous about making sure we've got the best plan that there is. And part of the effect of that is we'll go above and beyond the normal match that many companies do, and we'll additionally contribute as a role of the profit sharing plan.
That's very creative. And what's very cool, again, and as I sit and think about it, I didn't quite understand it. Now, you really do help them build wealth, in essence, because as you grow, like you said, if you went 10x, they're going to get more contribution into that deferred over time, which just, you know, exponentially grows. I mean, it's genius.
Right. And, you know, the plan is your salary should cover your needs for today.
Mm-hmm.
And your retirement savings, which, you know, are very generous through the 401k plan, your retirement savings, which should cover you for tomorrow. And so if you help Merchant Words have a successful tomorrow, Merchant Words is going to help you have a successful tomorrow.
You know, how small were you when you started adding these benefits? I mean, how many employees do you have now?
Oh, gosh, between full and part-time and everything, we're well over 10.
Okay. And so how small were you when you started considering these, saying, you know, I mean, was it 2 or 3? Or, I mean, did you have to get to a certain level? Because I'm sure people are saying, you know, this is easy for George to say because, you know, he's doing millions of dollars, blah, 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 blah. And I'm sure you would say, Steve, it was not a faucet that turned on. It was a slow drip. And then over time, you built that. But what would you, well, let me say it this way, even better, because you know Amazon businesses. What would you say to these small Amazon business people? When should they be thinking of these things?
Well, the right time to think about it is right now, you know, anytime. Just just like I did, I sort of committed myself to say, hey, look, if I ever get in a situation where I fire or hire my first full-time employee, then at that moment, there's certain things I'm going to want to do correctly from day one.
Okay. So your first employee.
Right. And so, well, actually, I want to go earlier than that. What I would challenge other business owners to say is even before your first employee, because you're going to have a lot of things to think about. And quite frankly, the first employee is the scariest one, you know, because there's a lot of different things that your business has to change to make sure that another person steps in and performs their role, you know, with the same kind of authority and autonomy. And so that's scary, right, to trust your first employee. There's so many other things that you're going to be worried about. What I'm saying is start thinking about how you want to treat your first employee now, even before you have one. It'll make it easier when the day comes. But in my case, yeah, with the very first employee, we took all those steps to create the right health insurance plan. We took the steps to begin researching in order to create the right 401k plan. And, you know, the health insurance came together pretty fast. We have a great insurance broker who helped us through every step along the way. And by the way, if anybody out there is listening to me and they have these exact same concerns, let me know. I'll be happy to share all my contacts with the people who created the insurance for me and the people who created the 401k plan. I'll be happy to give you the lowdown dirty secrets on who you go to be treated well. But with employee number one, we created the health benefits plan, and we began working on creating the 401k package that we now have. But that took a long time. 401k takes a long time to get due correctly, and the health insurance package is a little bit quicker.
Yeah, that's a lot of legal stuff. Okay, so I want to close out with, where is George and Merchant Words going? Because I think you've added so much value. I don't want to ask you my ending question, which is, you know, what would you tell people to move forward? I think what we're talking about here is helping people create a real viable business with employees and an environment, and this is how you do it, and this is how you maintain them. So to me, that's the value piece right there. But I want to know, I want to give back to you and just say, hey, where's Merchant Words going? Where's George going? And you can make your best pitch to why people should subscribe to your service. You give me a special price. Is that price still good?
Of course it
is. Okay, yeah. So it's a lifetime $9 a month. And once you sign up, because it's regularly $30, but if you sign up, it's $9 as long as you stay a subscriber, and I'll have a link for that. I'm still, so it's one of those things, you set it and forget it for $9. I mean, come on, right? But it's so useful, and you're like, really, only $9? But I get it. I get what you're looking. You're looking at the long game again. So go ahead, tell me what you're going to do, and then make your best pitch, and I will absolutely do anything I can to help you.
Sure. So what we're working on now, you know, it's a side effect of all of this travel I do. And I do it because, sure, I like traveling. It's interesting. But more importantly, I like being in the same room, standing face-to-face with our customers. Mm. Other people running e-commerce businesses, whether they're selling on Amazon or some other marketplace, I just love that, because you have unvarnished conversations about what they love about your product, what they hate about your product, features of a product that that don't exist yet that they would love for you to create on their behalf. And that, for me, that's gold. And so I'm kind of addicted to that. And that's really informed our roadmap going forward. And the first thing, and it's like I said, we're about ready to launch in the next couple of days. So by the time everybody's hearing my voice, it'll be live already. The first thing is we're going worldwide. So we're adding all the North America markets, we're adding all the European markets, and like I mentioned, right after that, we'll be adding India and Japan and Australia. So our first axis of growth is along the worldwide availability of Merchant Words data, and that's fascinating. And, you know, it's kind of addicting for me anyway to sort of dig around in our data and see how people in France or Germany are searching for products. It's just addicting, kind of scroll through. So that's one. And then the other thing is, we've talked to a lot of customers who have thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of ASINs in their Amazon account, or, you know, just regular SKUs in their catalog. And they look at me and they say, hey, Merchant Words is great. I love looking through your data and seeing how my customers shop for your, you know, shop for our products. And I'm happy to kind of put together a keyword strategy for each of my SKUs. But I have 1,000 of them or 10,000 of them. I just can't spend the time to do it. So we've got an upcoming product that we'll be talking about in more detail soon, but we're kind of referring it internally as the keyword autopilot. And the concept is, you know, we'll take a look at your catalog, we'll look at your inventory, we'll look at the keywords you already have in your listing, and then we'll automatically, without you having to do so much manual effort, we'll automatically take a look, keeping in mind all the word vectoring that Amazon has been doing lately, we'll automatically take a look at the opportunities where you haven't yet defined the right keywords. Mm. And in some cases, some people's SKUs actually have no keywords at all. They've just thrown in a title and that's it. They move forward. I'm like, dude, you got to get something in there. And other people have done a really good job adding some keywords, but they haven't yet taken full advantage of what they could do. And so our vision for the Keyword Autopilot is, in an automated way, we're going to take a look at what's happening with all of your listings and then give you immediate directed advice about each one, so that whether you have a staff of virtual assistants that you can give this back to, or whether it's just time savings for you personally, now you have sort of like this marching orders. You just say, okay, SKU 1, add this, SKU 2, add this, et cetera. And as the name implies, we want to have this be an ongoing kind of piloting process. So you do that, and then next week we'll have another look and see how those things have changed. Did the keywords we recommend you add give you lift in those search result pages? Did they not have any effect? And then recommend a set for you again going forward.
It'll get smarter.
So on our roadmap. Yeah, exactly right. It'll learn as it goes. So on our roadmap going forward in the short term is Merchant Words Global. We intend to go around the world with all of this interesting keyword data. And then factoring off of that is going to be something that's of interest to the folks with larger number of SKUs in their catalog. And that's the Keyword Autopilots. And we may change the name when we launch it, but that's the concept. Is, you know, you're so busy running your business already, you just don't have the time to manage the keywords of 1,000 or 10,000 SKUs. So let us do that for you.
Beautiful. Okay. Best way to get in touch with you, George, if people do have a question about insurance or anything we talked about today, what's
sure,
the best
fantastic.
Way?
My direct email is george@merchantwords.com. That's the easiest way. Now, sometimes I've been accused, and rightfully so, of having an email slip through the cracks of my inbox. And a more secure or more certain way of getting in touch with someone in Merchant Words is just visit any webpage at merchantwords.com, and in the bottom right-hand corner is a big button. You just click on it, and it says, how can we help? That'll go straight to our customer service team. They can escalate it to me if you want to get in touch with me, or they can answer your question directly. But
beautiful.
Either one of those two ways you can get me.
Man, I'm so excited. I'm so pumped because, well, you know what? I mean, again, I love the relationship stuff because I'm so into it. You know, I've been married more than 30 years, so I get it. And then to have this real helpful guidance on building a team and retaining a team, I just think is so useful. You and I actually will see each other next month. I was thinking about it as we were talking. We were trying to figure out when we're going to see each other. We'll actually see each other in New York next month. And so I'm very excited about that, man. I can't wait to see you. I wish you nothing but success. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure, Stephen. Thank you.
Man, I'm telling you, he is so exciting, so gregarious, just a great guy and great to hang with. Him and his family, I've met him, and they're just wonderful people. He really cares. And so you see the offer. I don't benefit in any way. It's $9. I pay it too. It's out there on my website. If you go to Merchant Words, and I think it's merchantwords.com/e-commerce, but there's a link on my website too. It's so worth getting. I mean, 100 million keyword phrases, and I love that they're going global. Just so exciting. ecommercemomentum.com. Also, follow me on Instagram, and I'm digging that. I'm really digging it, and I put things there that don't make it into Facebook. Ecommerce Momentum is the handle to find me there, @ecommercemomentum. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.